forgot to announce it before we went live, and I don't want to embarrass her, but I have a friend from Urbana Seminary that's here, Melody, Dr. Melody Green, and she's a dean and a professor up there, so I'm thankful my friend Melody's here. And so let's prepare our hearts to worship with the prelude. Ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Please stand for our call to worship. It's taken from Psalm 19.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has sent a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat.
Amen. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
Thank you.
bless you and we honor you that you're the creator of the ends of the earth, that your name is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last and the beginning and the end. We thank you, Lord, that you've begun a good work in us. And your word says that he that has begun a good work in you is going to finish it. And so, Lord, we come here and we thank you, Jesus, that you are alive, that you are that you rule and you reign, that you have forgiven us of our sins. And Lord, Psalm 103 says you heal all of our sins, that you heal all of our diseases, and you redeem our life from the pit, and you crown us with love and compassion. And we praise you, Jesus. And we thank you for your love. And we thank you for your mercy. We again thank you for your protection upon Dan with the car accident. We thank you for a new car, and Lord, we just bless them. And thank you for Janet. Lord, we just continue to pray grace on them. We thank you, Lord, for your healing on Dan Richardson. And Lord, everybody that needs healing here in their body on our prayer list, we just ask healing to come in Jesus' name. That minds would be made whole. That bodies would be made whole. That spirits would be made whole. All those suffering from addiction, Lord, we lift them up to you. And as a prodigal son, it says he came to his senses in the pig pen. Lord, we pray that those that are suffering, that they would come to their senses, that clarity would come to their mind, they would turn to you. And Lord, I thank you that you are a father who runs to receive those who turn to you. Bless them, God. Heal them. Restore them in Jesus' name. Prayer guide this week, Lord, praying for China. Lord, we thank you for the underground church in China. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen your people there. Lord, that you would protect them, that you would give them courage and boldness. And we pray for continue, Lord, a deep turning, a massive turning to Jesus in China. Father, bless and turn in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that your word says that where great sin abounds, much greater grace abounds. And Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for a turning to you. And Lord, pray for your church, your remnant here in the United States. God, that you would give us courage, that you would give us boldness. We thank you, Jesus. Again, that you're going to finish the work, what you started in us. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, glory forever. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing the Gloria Patri. Glory be to the Father. To pray for the offering, so we just flip things around a little bit. So Lord, we do bless the offering in Jesus' name. We offer it up to you in worship, and Lord, just bless the offering and bless the givers in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our epistle lesson is taken from Colossians 1:15-21.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all
Facebook, you see extremes. I've seen people with the eclipse coming tomorrow. Oh, it's no big deal. This is stupid. Why are there so many people coming? There are eclipses every 18 months. This is no big deal. And people are kind of cranky about it. And then you've got people on the other side. Oh, wow. And they have all these prophetic words. And this means this. And this means this. And this means this. And you've got all over here and over here. But I've been thinking about it a lot. I just had felt like my heart stirred, and I haven't known what to do about it. And this morning, what I want to do, it's a little bit different. The preaching conference I went to on Thursday, I left early Thursday morning. We talked about expositional preaching, and that's what I was trained to do. We talked about different ways to do expositional preaching. It was very good, just really encouraging. And today, this is going to be more like a Bible study. I don't have a tight homiletical idea where it's real tight. I want to do just a really broad view of Scripture and what the Bible has to say about the creation. Because it is a big deal. Because God is a creator. And I just want to give you some scriptures that, as we go through things today, I hope you have your Bible, you can go with me. Again, this isn't going to be, I'm going to try to make it as tight as possible, but I just want to do a paintbrush stroke of what should our response be? What does the Bible have to say? And because he is a creator, one of the things that my doctor has wanted me to do to kind of reset my nervous system and help my tummy is to be out in nature a lot and to go out and get morning sun. I've always loved nature. I love to hike. Trees are, you put me in a place with trees, and that's my happy place. I can be cranky. I can be tired. But I go out to a forest, and I can just feel my body relax. And God created nature, and it reveals him. And I just want to, again, do some broad strokes, because it's an honor and a privilege to be, you know, we could just go in our backyard and see this thing, and it's going to be cool. And what should our response be? So just broad strokes this morning, and we're going to look at God as a creator. Father, we come. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you're the author of Scripture, that all Scripture is God-breathed. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would come, that you would breathe on your word this morning. And Lord, you know that I'm weak. You know that I'm tired. Your word says that we have this treasure in jars of clay. And Lord, I'm a weak jar of clay. But Lord, I thank you for the treasure of your Spirit, the treasure of your word that's deposited in me. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint me today, that you would give focus of my mind today. I offer up to you what I have, my little loaves and my little fishes. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint and that you would feed your people today from your word, that we would encounter you in word. Lord, the absolute awesomeness of you as a creator and what you've done in creation and what you've done, Lord, in sending Jesus. Lord, that we would leave here more in awe of you than we ever have been before. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Give us hearts, Lord, that's good soil. And Holy Spirit, come and anoint your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen. We already read part of Psalm 19 this morning, and I want you to turn in Psalm 19. I want to read the whole of it. He read half of it, and I want to look at it in its entirety today, Psalm 19. It's actually quite fascinating, and then we're going to jump to the New Testament. But Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the sky above proclaims its handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice, it's the voice of the glory of God in creation, their voice goes out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth, the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom, leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. So you have, in the first six verses, you have God as a creator and the glory of God revealed. You have, see that in verses 1 through 6? And then there's a switch, and it seems kind of abrupt in verse 7. Look at the switch. Talking about creation, and then in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Do you see the flow of that psalm? It's actually quite beautiful, because you have creation in the beginning of it, and there's a turn, and it's talking about the word of God and how beautiful the word of God, how sure the word of God is. Then there's another shift in that psalm, and it talks about who can discern his errors. And if you ever gone outside and during a thunderstorm, as a little girl, I loved clouds. And I didn't even know what this word meant, but we're going to talk about this later. But I remember, well, you don't remember, you know, this is me remembering, not you remembering. Outside, and either when there's a storm or in the sunrise or a sunset, sometimes there's streaks in the sky from the sun. And even as a little girl, I would see that and I would be like, that's what glory is. That's what glory is. And the heavens declare the wonders of God. And there's a part of God's nature that is revealed in his creation. And Psalm 8 says, what is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man. When I look and I see the wonders, and you do. You go out in a storm, you go out and you see a beautiful sunrise, a beautiful sunset. There's something in us that we're awestruck. Like, wow. And it's revealing God. And it reminds us of how small we really are. That's Psalm 19. And we see kind of how that works in Matthew chapter 2 with the Magi. The Magi, they see a star in the east, and they can discern from the stars. They were learned men, and they discerned something from the stars that there was one born king of the Jews. And so they go to Jerusalem and ask, you know, where is this one that's born? And what do they have to do? When the Magi come, creation has said something. They can discern something from creation. But what do? They have to go to the Word of God. They have to go to the Word. And from the Word, they discern, okay, the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. And so the Magi come, and you know that story, and they find Jesus, and they offer what they have to Jesus. But they had nature, but they also needed Word. Just like Psalm 19, the nature reveals God's glory, but the Word of God, both together. And who's the creator? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Again, very familiar, but I just want to fill your minds as we see this thing tomorrow. Do any of you have plans? Like, are you going to have people over, or you have gatherings? Are you going to get together? Yeah. Anybody else just going to have... No, it's going to be, anyway. What? The fairground stuff. Absolutely. Big party going on. As we see this thing tomorrow, remember this. Genesis chapter 1. Just look at it. Let's be reminded. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse, separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit bearing trees, each according to its kind, and on the earth, and it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Isn't that beautiful? There's order. God spoke and it came to be. With one word, he spoke the worlds into existence. With one word, he spoke the sun into existence. And there's order there. There's beauty there. The last 3 or 4 days, have you heard the birds singing? I've been hearing whippoorwills. And I'm not sure there's a more peaceful sound than the sound of a whippoorwill. I love that sound. And God created that for our pleasure. He didn't have to do that. The fact that the sky is blue, what is one of the most relaxing colors? It's blue. God is a beautiful artist, and he created that. One of the things that's so beautiful about DuQuoin, you all in this town have some of the most beautiful dogwoods in the city that I've ever seen. And I love walking the streets in the spring. Dogwoods on Main Street. You've got this dogwood right out here, and you you've got dogwoods, varying colors of pink. So beautiful. I haven't seen that in any community I've ever lived. So beautiful. And God created that, and it reveals his glory. It reveals him. There's order. There's beauty. In Genesis 1, where it says, you know, that the world was in chaos, just absolute chaos. And with one word, God brought order. And it reveals him. And it reveals his creation. And when you go outside and you see the blue sky, you see the sun, one of the things that I've been learning as I'm going through this healing process is that red light is incredibly healing to the body. That's why morning sun is so important. Getting out in the evening with the red light from the sun, that is so energizing to your cells, to your just to bring health to your body. Did God know that? Was there intent in that? Absolutely. Absolutely. And yet, this beautiful creation that God created, and he made man and woman in his image to tend the garden, gave them work to tend, beautiful, beautiful intimacy with God. But then there is rebellion and there's sin. And sin not only affected man and woman's relationship with God, but it also affected the earth. It also affected, and now there's thorns and briars and there's things in the earth. So not only was our relationship with God destroyed, but there was sin entered the earth. And I want you to go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John picks up Genesis, and I want you to see what John does. We've been through this, but it's so beautiful. I want you to see it again. John chapter 1. In the beginning, right out of Genesis, was John's intent. In the beginning was what? Was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Wow. Think about that. The one, when God spoke in Genesis 1, boom, God said, and it happened. The very word that was spoken, well, that's Jesus. That's such a profound thought. And it's so amazing and it's so profound. In our little brains, we can't begin to comprehend that. But when he spoke the worlds into existence, when he spoke the animals and everything we see in creation, that was through Jesus. He was that word that was spoken. He was with God. The word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. As we stand tomorrow and we see this thing take place, why is it a big deal? Why is it a big deal? It's because your Father in heaven loves you. He created creation for our pleasure, and his glory is revealed in that. His glory is revealed in that. And it reveals Jesus, the beautiful Savior who died on the cross for our sins. He's the very Word of God made flesh. And it reveals his nature. It reveals his power. It reveals him. In Colossians, look at what Colossians has to say about Jesus as the Creator. What does Colossians say? Colossians chapter 1. It was read for us this morning, but let's look at it. Colossians chapter 1. He, Jesus, is the visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him. Through him. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn from all creation. It's so beautiful. This Jesus who died for us, this Jesus that we celebrate resurrection last week, and that's every Sunday we remember the resurrection. All the worlds were created through him and for him. My desire for all of us is, as we watch this thing tomorrow, that we would just stand in awe of our Savior, that we would stand in awe of Jesus, because he created all things. And in Acts chapter 1, when he's ascended into heaven, it says, Jesus says to them, he's going to return just like that. He ascended, but one day he's going to walk through those clouds and he's going to come and take us home. Is that going to happen tomorrow? No. No one knows the day or the hour. I mean, it might, but I doubt it. But we can expect him to come. But it should, one of the things that makes me sad in the modern day church is, maybe 100 years ago, there was a lot of songs about heaven. There was a longing for heaven. And there were a lot of songs about that. We don't sing much about heaven anymore. We don't sing much about it, because I think we've gotten so comfortable in our own little world. But as you watch this eclipse tomorrow, remember Jesus, that he's the creator, that this is beautiful, that he's powerful. But also remember that he's coming back. He's a king. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to walk through those clouds one day, and he's going to return. And you look at the book of Revelations, the unveiling of Jesus, and the songs, the worship in Revelation, and what are they singing about? What are they singing about? Singing about God's holiness, Revelation 4, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the eternal song in heaven that's going on. Revelation 5, they're singing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. So they're singing about the holiness of God. They're singing about the worthiness of Jesus and the blood that he shed, that he's the Lamb of God. And they're singing about that. What else are they singing about in Revelation? Revelation chapter 5. What's going on? What's going on? Revelation 5. We'll get to Revelation 5 in a minute. Revelation 4. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. I think that's so profound that I would expect, when he gets a glimpse into heaven, that they're going to be singing about the holiness of God. That just makes sense, because you see that in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 6. They, you know, Isaiah sees it, and it's holy, because God is holy. It's who he is. It's the only attribute of God that's repeated three times. Holy, holy, holy. He's holy. So I would expect that. I would expect there to be worship on the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb. But it's striking to me that they're praising God as a creator. He's a creator. And they're worshiping him for what he's created and what he has done. It's been corrupted by sin. It's been corrupted by the fall. But not only are we redeemed, not only did Jesus die for us to redeem us, but there's something in the redemption in the blood of Christ that when he returns, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, because creation is going to be redeemed as well. And while it reflects the glory of God, that there's a redemption that's coming even for creation. And so as we stand tomorrow, the Bible Bible says that unless you become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's humbling ourselves. And it's also, I think, has something to do with our worship. And may we not be cranky. Oh, this is no big deal. This is stupid. Why are people just doing this? Is so silly. This is so dumb. No. We stand out there. The fact that there's an eclipse, 2017, 2024, that we got to see it twice, I haven't been able to find anywhere that this has ever happened, that within this period of time, there's two eclipses, total eclipses just like this. Yes, there are eclipses that happen every 18 months. But I think there's something significant about this. I'm not a prophet. I can't tell you what that is. But I know, and what I feel like the Lord wants me to say, is that we need to worship him. We need to stand in awe of it. We need to remember that God is the creator, that Jesus was through whom all things were created. Romans chapter 1 tells us that men are without excuse. That men are without excuse because of creation. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verses 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. Wow. God's divine attributes are revealed in creation. Coming back to Psalm 19. The glory of God is revealed, but we need the word of God too. Creation and the Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He died on the cross. And he's ascended. He's coming back just the way he came. And may we stand in awe tomorrow. Absolute awe of what Jesus is. His creation is showing us. His glory that is revealed. Let's be like little children. Little children, when they're excited, they might jump up and down. Go to a ball game and my team scores a home run, I'm not going to sit there and be like, yeah, it's no big deal. Come on. Yeah. Woo. It's okay. It's okay. Because your papa, your daddy in heaven, he made that. He did that. Look at what he's doing. Look at what he's doing. And may we all lean into the word. Lord, what is it you're saying in this? This feels significant. This is interesting. What are you saying, Spirit of God? What are you saying through your word? And let's listen. And let's heed. And that's worship. Revelation chapter 5, it talks about God. Again, worshiping God as a creator. And it says in there that all creatures in heaven and on earth or under the earth are worshiping Jesus. When I first was studying that and translating that and getting into that, I had a really grumpy cat. Yanni was her name. And Yanni was just cranky. And as she got older, she got really cranky. She'd yowl and she'd bite me. She was just a little bit cranky. And as I was working on that passage one day, I was thinking, all creatures in heaven and on earth or under the earth, and it says they're going to be singing. And I'm like, that doesn't say humans. That says all creatures. And it was like the Lord just kind of dropped in my spirit. He's like, yep, even Yanni's going to be singing my praises. Because he's worthy. Because he's good. Because he's the creator. Because he's the redeemer. And the fact that they can sing about creation in the book of Revelation. He's holy. He's worthy. But he's also creator. Powerful. about and you see people. It's a great opportunity as the Holy Spirit kind of just prompts you to share Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. Tell them, my daddy made that. Father, Jesus made that. He made that. May we be open. May we be his witnesses. And may we be his worshipers. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. Father, we praise you and we bless you and we honor you that you are alive, that you are Savior, that you are Creator, that, Lord, when you died on the cross and you brought redemption to mankind, Lord, there's redemption in nature as well. And Lord, that there's going to be, you're making a new heaven and you're making a new earth. And Lord, we long for the day when we see you face to face. We long for the day when we walk the streets of gold. And Lord, we thank you that creation in heaven, it's new. And it's going to be beautiful. It's beautiful now. But as our bodies are tainted by sin and now creation is tainted by sin, Lord, there's coming a day that creation is going to be perfect. And Lord, we thank you that your glory is revealed in it. That day to day it pours forth speech. Night after night it reveals knowledge. There is no place where its voice is not heard. Lord, we want to hear your glory shout tomorrow. We want to hear it. We want to be filled with your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that we would be your witnesses. We want to be your witnesses. May we not be cranky and curmudgeons tomorrow. But Lord, I pray that we would be worshipers and that we would worship you in spirit and truth as we see what you do in the sky. And Lord, may it be a sign for us that you're coming again, that you're faithful, and that you rule and you reign and you are powerful. We thank you, Jesus. We bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing How Great Thou Art. receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were existed and created. Jesus, we thank you that you are the image of the invisible God, that everything was created through you and for you so that you might have the supremacy, that you are King of Kings and that you are Lord of Lords. Lord, I pray that you would fill us up with your Spirit, that we would be bold and sensitive to your Spirit and witness. And Lord, we thank you for the honor and privilege of your showing off tomorrow. And Lord, I pray that we would be filled with worship and adoration of who you are. In Jesus' name.